Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome to Food for the Journey, and welcome to the readings for this coming Sunday, the third Sunday of Advent, and it's the Sunday of joy. This is the day we pause in whatever sacrifices we're making, in whatever penitential ways we're trying to turn our backs on sin, and open our hearts to ready them for the reception of Christ this Christmas. The church takes a bit of a pause here, right in the middle of Advent, and says, rejoice. Rejoice that you have a Savior. Rejoice that your Savior is coming to you. Rejoice. So we don't do so well with that, rejoicing. We might be happy, we might be excited, but joy is a gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus tells us that if we follow him and if we repent of our sins, that we will know the joy that no one shall take from us. We shall know the joy that no one shall take from us. It's a foretaste of heaven, and it's a kind of joy that God wants to give us. Sometimes we say, oh, I'm happy or I'm joyful or whatever, but there's really, really a big difference. You can be happy just by circumstances. You can be happy at seeing someone you haven't seen, but joy is a deep-seated, running river of life that flows through your entire being. It's when you know why you were created and what you were created for. And when you come in contact with the one who created you and the one who saved you, when you really enter into communion with God, which is the work of the Holy Spirit, if we ask him, he will do that in us. And so it's time where we both cry out, come, Lord Jesus, and at the same time rejoice that he chose to save us. He didn't have to. But he chose to save us. Let us take time this weekend to rejoice in the goodness of our God. The prophet Zephaniah chapter 3, verses 14 to 18. Shout for joy, O daughter Zion. Sing joyful, O Israel. Be glad and exult with all your heart, O daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has removed the judgment against you. I hope by now you've gone to confession, that the judgment against you has been canceled. Do that now. Do that today if you can. Do that this week, please. Receive the sacrament of reconciliation. Receive the forgiveness that God has for you. The Lord has removed the judgment against you. He has turned away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You have no further misfortune to fear. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear not, O Zion, be not discouraged. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty Savior. He will rejoice over you with gladness and renew you in his love. He will sing joyfully because of you, as one sings at festivals. This is what God will do for those who return to him. For those who admit their sin, for those who have bowed down before him gladly, not in a servile way, but just glad in adoration to bow down before the source of life, the source of my life forever. And I gladly yield to him. There's a joy that comes, brothers and sisters, that it's wordless. There's no comparison, anything on the face of this earth. The Lord has removed the judgment against you. He's turned away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You have no further misfortune to fear. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear not, O Zion, be not discouraged. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty Savior. He will rejoice over you with gladness and renew you in his love. He will sing joyfully because of you as one sings at festivals. He loves you. He wants to come. He comes for you. He doesn't come for billions of people. He comes for you. Cry out with joy and gladness, for among you is the great and the Holy One of Israel. pray that part of what we are calling here the responsorial psalm that comes from Isaiah chapter 12. Pray it out loud. God indeed is my Savior. I am confident and unafraid. My strength and my courage is the Lord. All the strength and courage I have is coming from Him, and He has been my Savior. With joy you will draw water at the fountain of salvation. Pray that out loud. Declare it out loud. Declare that you are a disciple of Christ, that you are a son or a daughter of the loving God. Cry out with joy. And the second reading for this Sunday, which is the third Sunday of Advent, Paul's letter to the Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 7. Brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord always. I shall say it again, rejoice. Your kindness should be known to all. Rejoice that you're going to live forever. Rejoice that you have a Savior when you fail. Rejoice that there is forgiveness given to you every time you fail. Rejoice that the God of Israel loves you and has gone before you to make a way for you. Rejoice. Rejoice every moment. Have no anxiety at all, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. And then the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It's true. It's true. They're not just nice words, pious words. It's the reality, brothers and sisters. It's the reality. Those who live in Him, those who follow Him, those who are His sons and daughters, His disciples, those who pick themselves up when they fall and ask forgiveness and keep right on going because the Lord Himself gives us strength to get up again and to try again. There's a joy no one shall take from you, even in the midst of all that. God wants you to know that in your heart, an assurance of His presence, of His love, of His forgiveness, of His kindness, of His help. He wants you to know that and to be able to rejoice. This is the year of mercy. Brothers and sisters, this is the year of mercy. God wants you to know perhaps what you have never known, the fruits of His mercy in your life. Open your heart to Him. Receive what He has for you. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 3, verses 10 to 18, the crowds asked John the Baptist, "What should we do? What are we to do?" Because John is telling them, a voice crying in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight His paths." And the crowds asked John the Baptist, "What should we do?" And he said to them in reply, now note this, what should we do to be His disciples? What should we do to be able to enter the kingdom of God? Look at this. He said to them in reply, "Whoever has two cloaks should share with the person who has none." Very practical answer, a very real answer. It's what God asks of us. Show mercy. Receive mercy and let yourself be like a channel of that mercy flowing through you to others. Whoever has food should do likewise. Even tax collectors came to be baptized, the most hated of people because they worked with the enemy. Even tax collectors came to be baptized and they said to him, "Teacher, what should we do?" And he answered them, "Stop collecting them what is prescribed." Soldiers also asked him, "What is it that we should do?" And he told them, "Do not practice extortion. Do not falsely accuse anyone. Be satisfied with your wages." Very practical, down-to-earth things. Now the people were filled with expectation, and all were asking in their hearts whether John might be the Christ. And John answered them all, saying, "I am baptizing you with water, but one mightier than I is coming. I am not worthy to loosen the thongs of his sandals." That was the most menial of tasks of slaves at that day. And John is saying, "I'm not worthy to loosen the thongs of his sandals." Brothers and sisters, John is telling us here how to live the year of mercy, both to receive it and to give it. This is a very, very good battle plan or family plan for your life as to how to live out this year. If you have two cloaks, share with the person who has none. If you have extra food, do likewise. And when tax collectors came, stop collecting more than what is prescribed. Don't practice extortion. Do not falsely accuse. Be satisfied with your wages. Simple things, brothers and sisters, but they're the things that dispose our hearts to receive the mercy of God. Because we're acting in a merciful way, then God fills us with his mercy, and in turn that flows out of us to others. It's a constant cycle until they too, the people we're serving, until they too come into direct contact with God. And often by our acts of mercy, that happens. We do for people what is totally unexpected, and it changes them. It stops them in their tracks. You may never know it on this earth, but you're giving food away, or you're giving clothing, or you're taking out of your own money and doing something for the poor. Wait till you're in heaven and see how that's rewarded. We do something small, but it's great in the eyes of God, because it's being charitable, it's being merciful, it's being generous. And God loves that, and he rewards that. John answered them all, saying, I am baptizing you with water, but one mightier than I is coming. I am not worthy to loosen the thongs of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Brothers and sisters, you and I are living in the time in which we're to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and fire. God wants to use us to bring his love to so many. And how many these days, how many refugees, how many people starving to death, how many children orphaned? Surely there is something you can do. And you're tempted to say, oh, the situation is so big, anything I do couldn't matter. It matters infinitely. Your small act matters infinitely. It can help to open the hearts of others. It can change lives. His winnowing fan is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. But the chaff, the waste, he will burn with unquenchable fire. You don't want to be part of the chaff, brothers and sisters. You don't. You want to be part of the Lord's army, in a certain sense, the army of mercy, to bring mercy, to conquer evil by mercy. We can do it by his grace and by his power. Let Jesus ask you that question when the people said to John the Baptist, what should we do? Ask Jesus that question, and then carry out whatever it is he asks you to do. God bless you. As we prepare for this year of mercy, which will begin this December, I want to make available to you a free copy of my booklet, Captured by Mercy. I'm going to be speaking on this program a great deal about the true meaning of mercy, but I'd like you to have a free copy of my booklet now, Captured by Mercy. You can receive it simply by calling this number, 1-800-282-4789.